All right, so we're here today with Andrew Kennedy, who is a scientist from MSR. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
That's right. So I've been at Microsoft like 10 years now. In fact, I got my piece of glass about a week ago that commemorates this
Congratulations.
This event.
Nice.
And I've been having a great time all those years. When I first came, I worked on functional languages. I did this compiler for a language called StandardML. That targeted the .NET runtime.
Nice.
And F-sharp does something similar these days.
Yes, it does.
And then I got into this whole generics project that I'm sure many developers will be aware of.
Absolutely. Since .NET 2.0, right?
Right,
isn't that C-sharp 2.0? Or
yeah, that's right, 2.0 in whenever it was. But I spent 5 years working on that with Don Simon, Claudio Russo, and others.
Nice.
So that was a lot of C++ hacking, implementing generics in the runtime. But since then, I've got back into functional languages, in particular F#, and I'm returning to what I did for my PhD thesis years ago,
which is
so that was my thesis was all about checking programs for units of measure errors. So I'm sure some of you remember the NASA disaster where the Mars probe kind of crashed into Mars instead of landing on the surface, and that was all due to.
Was that NASA or was that the European Space Agency?
Oh, they had another screw up.
Oh, okay. But that wasn't a metric problem?
Not that I know of. Yeah, no.
Okay,
I don't think they ever figured that out. No.
Okay, cool.
But the NASA one was, they had a contractor called Lockheed who used old-fashioned imperial units, and NASA themselves were using metric units. And something like the thruster got issued a command to apply a certain thrust in newtons, which is in the metric unit, and it was expecting it in pounds. And so it kind of went into a lower orbit than it should have and crashed into the surface.
Okay.
So that's just one example, I guess, a very public one.
Sure.
Of what can go wrong when units get screwed up.
Now, excellent. So let's talk a little bit. So you've implemented this in F#.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about what that means exactly?
So it manifests itself in the type system. So I mean, there's a number of ways you can do this, and people have added units to languages over the years. So a typical way you might do it is through libraries. So you might, for example, tag all objects with their units, and then whenever you apply an operation like addition or something, then you check the units, and that would be at runtime. So there's a couple of problems with that. One is it's too late often. You know, the Mars probe, instead of crashing, might have just thrown an exception.
Okay.
And the second problem is you've got to check these things at runtime, so that's a performance hit. So the approach that we take in F# is instead to build it into the static type system of the language, so that when you write code as a developer, these errors are caught at development time.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And you call this feature, just to be clear, units of measure.
Just units of measure, yeah.
Cool.
So
let's quickly, let's take an example. Let's see what it looks like.
Sure, I can.
And then we can dig into to what you
did. Right. So I'll take some program someone else wrote who found the feature useful. So I have a colleague, Phil, who wrote this little game using the XNA framework for the Xbox.
Cool.
And this is kind of retro because it's Lunar Lander.
Nice.
Wireframe graphics.
Perfect.
So keeping with the kind of NASA space theme.
Yeah.
So I've got it here in Visual Studio. And, well, this is a classic because, you know, you've got lots of physics going on here. There's velocities and angles and fuel and all these things, which all are quantities, which have units. But let's just run the game so you can see what this actually does. I think I need to run it from here.
Exactly.
Okay, here we go. So
whoa, that is retro.
Yeah. So you wouldn't really want to run this on an Xbox RAM. I mean, you're not exactly exploiting its features.
Sure.
But there's a little bit of sound as well, and nice. I'm not very good at it, but crashed into the surface.
Okay.
So you can see from the display that we've got fuel in liters and speeds in meters per second, and it's got to apply the rules of physics to simulate this. So what you'll see immediately is we've got units of measure in the program text there.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got a variable here, x, which has got this constant, it's 100 meters. And so we sort of say in angle brackets the units of the constant.
Okay.
And that gets reflected in the type of the variable. So if we hover the mouse over this variable x, then we see that it's a float 32, which means it's a 32-bit float, but it's not just a float 32, it's a float 32 of meters.
Excellent.
And there's some more, you know, complex units here. You know, it's kind of conventional notation that you might write as a, you know, high school student, meters per second, m stroke s. So here we see we've got a pair of floats.
Sure.
And they're each velocities. And there's some more complicated units down here. So, of course, the point is we want to catch errors. So
yes.
Suppose we forgot, let's suppose we did an addition here instead of a multiplication.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we get a little red squiggly. So if this was a language without units, nothing would happen. These would just be floats. You can have floats. Nothing wrong with that.
Yep.
But because we've got units, we get a little message saying the unit of measure seconds does not match the unit of measure meters per second squared.
Yeah.
Which is acceleration. So essentially, the compiler knows about the rules of units.
Excellent.
And apparently, Phil, who wrote this, did actually discover some errors.
Did he?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And we've had people come in from the physics faculty in Cambridge, where I work, and had someone intern, and he'd never used F-sharp before,
mm-hmm.
And he found the units feature really, really helpful.
Excellent.
Which is kind of nice to know, because I'm not a physicist by training,
sure.
So it was good to have someone who was.
But of course, you mapped it to like the standard notation that you'd see in any sort of mathematics or physics curriculum or chemistry or whatnot.
Right, we're trying to make it as straightforward as possible. And I guess that's one place where it wins over other people's attempts to kind of cobble together units in existing languages.
Mm-hmm.
So people have like added them to C++.
They have.
Using, kind of template hacks.
Okay.
And even to Haskell using type class hacks.
Nice.
But you have to kind of go through a bit of pain because you don't get the nice, you know, support for the notation and all that.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about how you implemented this in F#.
Sure.
Right? I mean, you experienced the pain, so thank you. Because this is
that's my kind.
Very, very straightforward. So that's excellent. So how did you implement it?
Yeah, so a kind of obvious question is, well, why isn't this just like types? You know, what's the difference?
Yeah.
And the difference is really that there's rules that are going on, like if you have meters times seconds, that's the same as seconds times meters. So if you try to kind of encode this in a type structure, that's where you'll come a cropper, you know, because you won't be able to convince, say, C# that meters times seconds is the same as seconds times meters. So you have to build that in to the type system. So I can use the whiteboard.
Absolutely,
yeah, please. So, you know, you get things like, suppose you have meters per second squared, and then you multiply that by second squared, then obviously that's going to be meters. So the compiler needs to know that. So that's where all the work went in.
Okay.
That in itself is, that's pretty straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
And you could do that in C# if you extend the compiler.
Okay.
But where it gets really interesting is that, so F# has this feature called type inference.
Mm-hmm.
And you notice that when people say it looks like a dynamic language because there's no types in the code.
Sure.
But that's because behind the scenes, F# is, the compiler is working out the types. And the same goes for units. So, mm-hmm. I don't know, if you look at this code here of Phil's, then we've got units on the constants because how's the compiler going to know that this constant is meters? You need to tell it. But you'll see that all these other variables, it just works it out. So you've got some complicated calculation here, and it works out that this must be, that one's actually a float 32, but, you know, that we've got these units.
Excellent. Perfect.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, so, of course, this helps in the case when you're doing static analysis. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
But let's talk about the more dynamic case, right? Because dynamic is like the new big thing. And I mean, even C# has type inference, right? Var F equals.
Sure, yes. That's right, yes.
So let's talk about, you know, dynamic code and preserving units of measure. Like you said, you could do stuff at runtime, but it's going to be a cost.
Yes. So we actually depart here from the kind of .NET model.
Sure.
Well, the .NET model is to kind of keep all the types, preserve them down to the runtime. And we don't do that for units. Mm. It turns out I don't think there's too many use cases, but it's also an optimization thing. That not having units around at runtime means that you pay absolutely no cost for having these things. Mm. We'll see. We'll see whether people kind of want it. If they do want it, then someone's going to have to put units into the CLR.
That would be fun.
I'm not volunteering.
No. But that would be really interesting.
Sort yeah, yeah.
General purpose, compiler framework for this.
Yeah.
I think it's a very interesting feature. Now, F#, of course, is a very, lends itself nicely to mathematics and science.
Yes.
In general.
Yes. Yes.
So, what are the math people saying? I mean, are they liking this feature? Are they finding it useful? Are they finding bugs, like doing complicated math?
Yeah, they are. I mean, we've got some guys in research in Cambridge who are doing machine learning techniques. They're doing things like, for the Xbox, for example, they're learning how skillful a player is, say, at driving, in a driving game.
Rolf.
Yes, that's right.
Rolf.
Yeah. Herbrick, yeah. So he's using, he's a real champion for units. Cause,
awesome.
Yeah, he's using them for his stats. So he's got things like means or, averages, which would have units, mm-hmm. and then standard deviation, variance, all these kind of things. Mm-hmm. So a common thing, he says, for programmers to screw up is to confuse a standard deviation and a variance. And when you've got units around, you can't do that because the variance is a square standard deviation. So.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So how many of these things are automatically in the language?
So you can start out and define your own units.
Okay.
In fact, I can cool. show that. I mean, that's a nice way to introduce the feature, is just to build stuff up. So let me create a new, completely fresh project. So you basically can declare your own units, and there's a kind of slightly clunky syntax for doing that. So you can say, I've got this unit, kilograms.
Okay.
And I've got this unit, meters. And I've got this unit, seconds. Okay. And then I can immediately start using it. So I can say, gravity is 9.8 meters per second squared. And off I go. I've started using units, and if I try and do something stupid, like, add a mass to an acceleration or something, then it's going to tell me. But just to demonstrate this isn't just kind of types, let's say multiply gravity by something in seconds squared. Don't know what that would be. And add meters. And so it's going to let me do that, no errors, because it knows about the rules.
Okay.
That the second squared cancels with the meters per second squared. I guess one of the more interesting things is that this combines with generics very nicely. Mm-hmm. So imagine you're trying to write a function that squares its parameter.
Okay.
It doesn't care what the units are.
Mm-hmm.
So if I write a squaring function, so I might start by doing that, square x times x, and it's going to default to integers because multiplication is overloaded. Okay, so I at least need to tell it that I'm dealing with floats. And if I do that, then it will just give me ordinary floats, no units at all.
Okay.
We didn't want units to kind of be in people's faces straight off. you have to ask for them. So if you put, like, float of something, you just put an underline in there, but you don't tell it what, then it's going to work out that this thing is actually generic in its units.
Hmm.
Okay. So it's float of u for some u, but doesn't matter what, to float of u squared.
Excellent.
And then I can use that, like, I can square meters, and I can square kilograms or something, and these will get the appropriate type.
Beautiful.
So that's kind of where the deep work in the compiler is in inferring these types for you. Yeah. So from the user point of view, it's really easy. You don't worry. You just put in units on constants, mm-hmm. and then let everything flow through.
But in the compiler, as usual, does most of the work.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some of that work, right? Since we have you here in the flesh, and you work with Don Syme.
Yeah.
Right. So. I think what would be really fun to do is take something very simple like this,
yeah,
which on the outset is very simple, but when you jump into the rabbit hole, it can go pretty deep. So I kind of want to, let's dive into the rabbit hole a little bit and talk about really what's going on here.
Okay.
When the compiler sees this, or sees this, it's doing a lot of work very quickly.
Yeah.
But sure. I mean, the fact is, it's doing a lot of work. And I think that's kind of a fun thing. Sometimes we take engineering for granted.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. When I fly to China, I'm not going to be thinking too much about what's really going on in the plane, man. I'm going to be out, right?
Yeah, sure. Okay. So let me take a slightly contrived example.
Okay.
So I've got a squaring function here. Let's suppose we had a cube function as well. Okay. Now let's suppose I wrote this strange function that took two parameters and squared one and added it to the cube of another. Mm-hmm. So here's an exercise for you, Charles.
Nice.
Work out what what type this silly function has.
Silly x. What type it has is a very interesting one.
So they're going to be both floats, but
yeah, they're definitely, because x. So you're cubing a generic float.
Yes.
Right.
That's right.
And so we're creating another function that takes a generic float, multiplies it times, or actually takes x y. I'm not an F sharp programmer.
Sure.
So
sure.
But that's fine though. So this is a function.
Yeah.
Two parameters.
Yeah.
And so you're squaring a generic float plus cubing whatever y happens to be. You haven't told me yet.
That's right.
So I have no idea actually what the type really is, except that it's going to be a float.
Yeah, that's right. So it's going to take a float to a float to a float.
I would hope so.
But the addition there is kind of constraining things, because if you add two things, they've got to have the same units. So let's have a look. Let's see.
All right, let's see what's really going on. That's what I should have done. I said just hover over it.
Yeah,
but I was trying to play the game. All right,
sure. So unfair exercise. So it's taking something which is. I can't really do that in the camera, can I?
That's fine. The camera's not shooting at this.
Okay. So it takes something which has float of u cubed for some u. Okay. And then the second argument, that's y, has type u squared. And you see, if you square this, the first argument, you're going to get something of type float u to the 6.
Yes.
Okay. And if you square the second cube the second argument, which is what it's doing, you're also going to get something of float u to the 6. So the types match up, and that's what it's going to return. And so the compiler had to do some kind of scratching of its head.
Sure. But it did it really quickly.
Yeah,
faster than I was able to even to do it.
Sure.
Well, it doesn't surprise me. Okay.
So I can sort of show you on the whiteboard.
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah. How that might work. So, it sort of starts out by saying, let's see how it would work. It kind of invents names for the types, which is how type inference in F# normally works.
Okay.
This idea was kind of invented in 1978 by guy called Robin Milner, who won the Turing Award, and it's what F# is, the basis of every functional language, actually. Haskell, ML, they all use this technique. So if you have something like this function that takes two parameters, then it starts out and it says, well, what's the type of x? We don't know yet, so let's give it a name. Let's call it t.
All right?
So x has type t at this point. And what's the type of y? Well, we don't know yet. Let's call it, I don't know, S. Okay? And then it looks at the code of the function, which was square x plus cube y. And so then it looks at square applied to x, and it says, well, so t must be some kind of float because it's being passed to this squaring function. So I'm going to kind of refine this a little bit. It's going to be like float of something. And we don't know what that something is yet. So we'll give it a name. Let's call it U. All right. And it does the same for cube Y.
Okay.
It's float of something. We don't know what it is yet. Let's call it V. Okay. But we know that from the type of square and the type of cube, that this expression here must therefore have type float of U squared. Okay. And this expression here must have the type of float of V cubed. And then the next step is, well, it's looking at the addition.
Okay.
And what addition does is it says the units have got to match up because you can't add two things with different units. And so this is where the clever stuff happens. It's saying, well, U squared must be equal to V cubed. Okay. So to make that happen, mm-hmm. One way to make it happen is to make U equal to some other... type, let's call it W cubed, and for V to be equal to W squared, and then that's like solves that equation. Mm-hmm. And so that's, now we've got the type, we're done. If you look, so X must have type float of W cubed, and Y must have type float of W squared, and the result by sort of flowing stuff through will have type float of W to the 6.
Nice.
So that's what's going on inside the compiler, but the user doesn't need to worry about that.
No, but it's good to understand. I mean, I think sometimes the direction that we take sometimes, programming languages are ways for you to compose, you know, solutions to problems, right? And so we want you not to have to think too deeply about every little aspect of the computation, because some of it you shouldn't have to do that. That's why we have machines computing
sure.
for us.
Yeah.
But it's also sometimes good, I think, niners... You know, they like to know a little bit about how this stuff is actually implemented, because a lot of them
yeah.
are students and also aspire to be scientists. So that's, I think this is really cool. So give me a sense of, like, how baked is this feature? I mean, this is V1. It's
yeah.
added to the latest CTP.
Yeah, yeah, it's in there.
Okay, so you're still doing more
yeah.
work on it.
Just fixing bugs, really,
just
now.
Just fixing bugs.
As you can see, it's quite a small feature in terms of... how it's exposed to the user.
Absolutely.
It could have a big impact. I think, you know, it's not just physicists and scientists who will be interested. I mean, there's units everywhere, not
yeah.
just physical units, but things like pixels. And I mean, the guy who is doing this Xbox skill stuff, he has these
yeah.
things, he calls them skill points.
Yes.
Which is his unit. Or if you're doing kind of search, then you might have hits per page, this
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. So... and in terms of implementation, it's, I guess I'd like to say this is quite sophisticated, but there's not a great deal of code
mm-hmm.
there. Yeah.
So let me ask a question. As we talk, I think about the latest feature in the CLR,
mm-hmm.
which is type equivalence.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about this.
You've heard about that. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing to be able to guarantee that two types are actually the same,
yeah.
Which is essentially what you're doing.
Yes.
But I'm not going to say this is type equivalence for F-sharp because it doesn't really make sense. But in some sense, you're guaranteeing type equivalence of united
yeah.
types, which is a good thing because now I'm not going to be able to crash a car into a wall
right.
because I didn't do the miles. I was doing miles per hour instead of what I should have been doing. The computation
yeah.
was looking for kilometers per second or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
So
yeah,
I just wanted to bring that up because there is
yeah,
a connection.
You've kind of latched on to something because there is... there's a lot more work in type systems these days involving different kinds of equivalences.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. So if you look at what's going on in Haskell, Simon Patton-Jones has got a way of putting equations into, as user programmers can put them into the type system.
Hmm.
And other languages are doing similar things. So yeah, yeah.
Interesting.
And of course I'm thinking for future versions of F-sharp might have things other than units which obey some kind of equations like this. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I mean, you know, if there's more you want to get out there, now's the time, right? So, Niners, I hope you have questions for this distinguished gentleman. I think, again, you said it's a pretty small feature from the user point of view, right? So the guarantee is if I specify something that a function is going to take something that is meters per second squared.
Yeah.
Then the compiler is going to catch when I send it meters per second, because it's not the same thing, right? Whereas it would be easy to mess up that without actually having typed units. So why aren't they called typed units? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I call them, yeah, types for units.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Or unit types for units. Yeah. I like units of measure. I mean, that's what the people in school understand.
That's right. I mean, actually, one thing we haven't touched on is unit conversions.
Yes.
It's an obvious question for the FAQ. So you can define your own separate unit systems. So I could, for example, define feet, say. But as far as the language goes, feet and meters are just completely different things.
Okay.
There's no relationship between them. But if I want to convert one to the other, I can write my own functions to do that. So if I want to write a feet to meter, meters function, I can do that. So starts off in feet. And now I'm going to convert this into meters by multiplying by, well, I don't know what it is, probably about 3.1.
Okay. 2 points.
Oh, I'm going to actually have to divide by that. I'm making a mistake here. So I have to divide by 3.1. And now I give this constant some units such that the result is in meters. So this is like feet per meter. Okay? 3.1 feet per meter. And now if you look at the type of this function, it takes float of feet and gives me back float of meters. So I can then say height equals feet to meters, 6 feet, say. And now I've got height that's in meters. So you can do unit conversions, but the programmer has to write them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely going to catch errors if you try and confuse feet and meters. But the compiler's not going to put in the conversion for you.
Okay. But so as you said that conversion thing, I have a question. I mean, I'm not an F-sharp programmer. I mean, I've dabbled in it, but yeah. I mean, so in some sense, if I want to create some sort of specifier for perhaps kind of a large unit for measure or something that's a combination of different units, but I don't want to have to write them out over and over again.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Is
that possible?
Do you mean...
Does that make sense? Well, let's think of a case.
Sure, I mean,
what's a really ugly unit of measure that would have a long...
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
So, I don't want to keep writing that over. I want to specify that this is called whatever.
Absolutely, right. So there's units of measure like newtons, for example, which is the unit of measure of force in the metric system.
Okay.
And I can do that by a kind of type alias, if you like. So I can say newtons, which is abbreviated capital
okay.
N.
Perfect.
Is kilogram meters per second squared.
Yeah.
So rather than writing out kilogram meters per second squared all the time, I can just write that.
Excellent. And that's something that people do all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, yeah.
Excellent.
And you could define just use this for, you know, writing meters instead of M, for example. You can, just like you might with types.
So can you highlight over KG?
Sure.
Yeah. That's what you gave here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
I mean, coming back to what's built in, there's a thing that comes with F-sharp called the power pack, which is like a kind of optional DLL.
Mm-hmm.
And in the power pack, we've put a bunch of useful stuff for units, including the standard metric units and various constants. Yeah.
Interesting.
So you don't have to type all this.
And one question I have is, how do you define I in F-sharp?
How do you define
imaginary
I?
Number?
Oh, imaginary numbers. Ah.
So you could just do let I or type I. Or actually, it's not a unit of measure.
No,
or is it?
But well, you could imagine complex numbers having units.
Okay.
Okay. So that's something we haven't discussed. Actually, is we've got floats that are parameterized by units here, but you might want other kinds of things. Okay. So like complex numbers or vectors, matrices.
Absolutely.
That kind of stuff. Right. So you can do that. You can say, suppose I want to define a type of complex numbers. Then I can say complex of, and then I give, a unit parameter to the type. And now I might say, I forget the syntax here. I might have an imaginary or real part of the complex number and an imaginary part of the complex number. Something like that. So you've got a type that it's like, you know, list is parameterized on another type. Mm-hmm. This is parameterized on a unit in the same way that list is parameterized on a type. So you can define your own, you know, arithmetic or whatever on these things, and they would have the types you'd expect them to have with nice units.
Cool. Okay, yeah. So I guess the final question I'd ask you is, why did you choose to invest so much of your mental energy on this particular problem? I mean, you're from your PhD thesis to a few years, obviously.
Yeah. I did my thesis like 15 years ago.
Okay.
One might ask, why didn't I put it in C#? Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that is, well, it's kind of twofold. One is, I guess C# didn't have such an obvious target of science, mm-hmm. and F# is being targeted, at, amongst other things, at mm-hmm. science. But the other thing is that, at least before C# 4, I guess, you had to write a lot of type information in your program. And I didn't think a programmer would want the burden of writing even more stuff.
Agreed.
Like units. Whereas F# is in this tradition of functional languages, mm-hmm. of having inference. So it seemed like the ideal place to do it. So.
Cool. And again, as we mentioned earlier, C# does have inference, so who knows whether or not this will show up there. And I do know a fair amount of people that are programming scientific computations in C#.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At least Silverlight, anyway, for the UI, okay. For the UI kind of visualization.
Yeah.
Of course, the hardcore stuff is probably written in some other language.
Right.
But it would be nice if you could actually write an end-to-end application with great visualization,
yes.
very good data parallel computation if you need it, all in one language. We're getting close to there with Link. Link enables a lot of interesting things.
Yeah.
This is very cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I gave a demo of this at TechFest this mm-hmm. year. And probably the most common question was, when can we have this in C#?
Okay.
There's no reason why not. No.
All right. I mean, it would add a little bit of extra work for you, except that you would use var.
Yeah.
You require var, maybe. No?
Yes, you probably would require var,
so that you have type inference and the users can figure out if they're doing something silly.
Yeah.
And NASA, come on, man. You got to update the programming languages you guys use. I know you're still using C, but understandable. Cool. Yeah. Hey, great to meet you.
Yeah,
Thank you for this information and great work on this feature.
Well, thank you very much.
Cool. Get F#, Niners. Bingo. Thank you.